Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You guys remember meeting Donnie and cool guy. And in my journeys of meeting Donnie, I found out some really interesting stuff that I had no idea about. And he told me that he was a coal miner. Mm-hmm. Now, I have never met a coal miner before. I have never even been remotely close to a coal mine that I know of. And he began to tell me. He began to tell me what he did for a living. He doesn't do it right now. But what he did and the type of work that these men do. I mean, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I am impressed. When you talk about men that are willing to go 1,300 feet below the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the size of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Below ground.
Right.
And risk their lives every day in the type of work. I mean, you're talking about 10, 13 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really gets you to appreciate the electricity that you just turn on so easily.
Yeah, right.
And there's so much talk today, especially in the news. You hear so much talk about coal, pollutants. You're hearing about coal mines being closed down and natural resources. But there's a huge disconnect, I believe, with the actual people that work every single day.
Mm-hmm.
In this industry, there's a huge disconnect. I don't think most Americans really understand how many people, their livelihoods depend on this. Whole cities and communities are built off of an industry that's been around, since America's been founded.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's the turn of the century. Yeah.
It's been going on forever. There's generations of coal miners. I mean, generations. It's in the whole family blood, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just telling me this whole thing about coal mining. I was so impressed. And there's an article by Tri-Cities, and basically they just recently had a field trip where teachers were, about a dozen teachers from across the state says, they signed up for what they called the Weeks Project Coal to Electricity Energy Education Program. Okay, that was a mouthful.
Wow.
And it was hosted by the Eastern Coal Council. And basically, the teachers attended lectures about the industry. They went on field trips to Virginia City to a hybrid energy center, coke ovens and coal mines. And this was really cool. In fact, they went to number 41, the deep coal mine number 41, which is overseen by Alpha Natural Resources. And they talk about how, listen, we've been on amusement parks and we've been on all sorts of different trips. But one teacher in particular was going so that she could have a perspective. She's an earth science teacher in high school. She wanted to be able to truly teach her students from a firsthand experience. And she says with integrity about the coal mining industry. And listen, we weren't privileged to go on this physical tour.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a video tour. Where the person just gives you just great background of this industry. Listen, this is part of America. This is part of what keeps our lights on every single day. And you're going to see the process. And we're going to come back and talk about, it's all about, you look about our country, and you think about all these unemployment jobs and what's happening with the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that, an industry where they can keep mining and there's, My understanding, and I don't have the stat to give you right now, but my understanding is that we have in the United States about five times the amount of oil that they have in the Middle East. We have like five times that amount in terms of coal.
Yeah.
Right here in our country.
Oh, wow.
And there has to be innovative ways that we can continue to mine these coals and extract the pollutants somewhere. There has to be. Listen, we put a person on the moon, okay?
Yeah, right.
We put a person on the moon. There's ways, there's innovation to do that. And just to dump that industry for another, it's like, wait a minute. There's lives at stake. I want you to listen to this tour. You'll be able to see this in detail on The Torch, but you're going to hear so much more. You're going to be encouraged.
Man has used coal as a fuel for over 3,000 years, and it remains one of the world's most vital natural resources. It generates more than 40% of the world's electricity, and every year we go through 6 billion tons. Somehow, mines must ensure a constant supply, or our cities would be plunged into darkness and industries would grind to a halt. So, how do they do it? Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This industrial East Coast city is famous for steel production and shipbuilding. But Pittsburgh is also surrounded by rich coal reserves. And here, just 30 miles from the city, are the Bailey and Enlow Fork Mines. This is the largest underground mining complex in North America. And every year, it produces more than 20 million tons of coal. There are millions of dollars invested in this vast complex, and with more than 200 men working underground at any one time, keeping it running is a major logistical challenge. At 4 in the afternoon, the day shift clocks off after 8 hours of hard work, while the next shift makes its way into one of the lift cages to begin the 650-foot descent into the mine. Mining is one of the toughest jobs imaginable, and there's an unspoken bond between these men who spend every working day deep underground. Once they arrive at the bottom of the shaft, they still face a long journey to the coal face. After almost 20 years of continuous mining, a vast network of underground tunnels now extends for an extraordinary 35 square miles. The miners face a 5-mile journey to get to the section currently being mined. It's a cramped and uncomfortable ride aboard one of the mine's small trains as the cars rattle their way through the maze of dark tunnels, following a network of rails that are now so busy they require traffic lights. First up is a monster machine known as a continuous miner. Armed with a 16-foot cutting drum, this ferocious beast chomps away at the seam, carving out a series of access tunnels. As it bores its way forward, it feeds the coal behind it to a crab-like loader and shuttle car. The continuous miner produces up to 5 tons of coal every minute, more than a miner in the 1920s produced in a whole day. But its job is actually to prepare the way for the real monster, the longwall shearer. Armed with a set of teeth to put a Tyrannosaurus to shame, its cutting edge is over 1,000 feet long, and it can smash an amazing 50 tons of coal out of the seam every minute. Think about it. That's almost 1 ton of coal every second. Enough to meet all the energy needs of an average household for 78 days. But there are 3 million tons of coal in this 13-foot high seam. Despite its ferocious appetite, it will still take 6 months of shuttling back and forth before it has finished digging it all out. Before the coal is fit for shipping, they first need to remove rock, soil, and contaminants, which account for up to 30% of the raw feed. So the material is fed via conveyor into the processing plant. To ensure it's all properly processed, it's first graded according to size. Next, to separate the coal from the waste rock, it's fed into this giant flotation tank. Because the rock is heavier than the coal, it sinks to the bottom where it can be removed while the coal floats to the surface. It's now soaking wet, so just like your home laundry, they load it into a spin dryer. This industrial dryer spins the coal at high speed until excess water is removed. This water is then fed into vast tanks, where the contaminants are removed before being disposed of as waste slurry. Meanwhile, the different sized pieces of coal are recombined, crushed into a uniform mix, and fed into a giant hopper. Incredibly, just 15 minutes after entering the plant, it's ready for transport by rail. As they park beneath the hopper, a controller opens a chute to allow 6 tons of coal to fill each car. Once full, every train is able to transport over 10,000 tons of coal to power stations across North America. Thanks to some extraordinary coal crunching machines and the guys who labor 24/7 to keep them working, this essential resource keeps flowing to the world's power stations, and there's enough electricity to power the wheels of the modern world.
This is amazing. This is what men are doing every single day.
Wow.
For employment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about going deep into the abyss underwater and right. looking at God's beautiful creation underwater not too long ago on VFN Radio, but going down deep into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is no joke.
Yeah.
And when Donnie was telling me, you know, I just felt, man, I felt so proud. I felt so proud, you know, in a good way of just all the men out there that you know, and women that are all associated with this, but particularly this is an industry that men work in.
Mm-hmm.
He did say that he did work with one time with one female miner, but predominantly it's all men.
Mm-hmm.
And of the work that they put in every day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some people that don't want to go to work. There's some people that can't go to work.
Right.
And these men day in, day out, and you would think that, you know, they're getting paid this exuberant. I mean, it's a fair wage, but it's mm-hmm. not, you know, cause people like to write things off and say, oh, well, I'm sure they're just, you know. Well, no, these are people who actually work hard for a living these days.
Yeah.
They work hard
mm-hmm.
and they earn a good, honest wage, but they put their lives in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour
wow,
operation.
Not that.
He was telling me that most of the schedule is like 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And it's you know, 10 plus hours a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you're down.
No, I think he's in there with no breaks too, right?
Yeah, no breaks. I mean, they have some breaks, but the breaks are scheduled with, like, you know, equipment that breaks down and stuff like that. Because they're on a constant time.
Right.
A crunch. Lunch is kind of get lunch while you
can
type mm-hmm. of thing. I mean, you better bring everything you need when you go down, because if you forget anything, you're in trouble. You're not going back up.
Right.
I mean, you're down underground every day, and you're complaining about working in an office with no window? I'm saying, you're complaining about, you know, the air conditioning is not functioning? I mean, think about it. It's like, oh, my goodness, we can't complain.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me that those that are vertically challenged would actually be ideal for this position, because the ceiling space, I guess, is really short.
Right.
They don't have that many. It's not that tall. So if you're like, you know, 6 foot guy, you're walking, you know, hunched over
mm-hmm.
all day, hunched over all day. Sometimes right. you got to crawl.
Mm-hmm. That's like a second career for you, maybe.
No, not at all. I don't want to be a coal miner. I respect coal miners. I respect them, but don't want to venture down deep.
And he was even saying there's some spaces where they work and it's like 36 inches high and that's it.
Wow.
It's just like, you're going to find out real quick, you know, if you like small spaces or not.
You talk about claustrophobic.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way out. You're going to have to sit there, buddy. You know, mm-hmm. get over that.
Yeah, it really makes you be mindful of when you leave the light on. That little switch on the wall means a little bit more now.
When you think about it, there's enough that says 1 ton of coal is produced every second. And that's enough to power an entire house, an average family, you know, size home for 78 days.
Wow.
But if that industry stopped, I mean, it moves 24 hours, you know, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If once it's mined, it goes through a whole process of cleaning it, and as they described it, explained mm-hmm. it, and then it goes immediately on the train,
mm-hmm.
10,000 tons at a time or whatever, you know, all across the country. And if it stopped, the world, most of our cities would be in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, you know, that's what, when I think about America and I think about some of the things that made this country great, and I look at the hard work that's been done all across, you know, the country, I just think it's remarkable. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. Not too long ago, we shared about the farmers in America. I mean, farming is not for wimps.
No.
I mean,
that's no joke either.
No farmers. I get up first thing in the morning, you know, crack of dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it is serious, intense, intentional mm-hmm. work. I mean, you know, you have to be fully engaged, and it's not like just a physical thing. You got to have brains. You got to know what you're doing. You got to have, you know, you have to exercise some knowledge in this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using your mental capacity, your thinking, your straining, your calculating, mm-hmm. you know, that's strenuous, as well as many times being physical.
Yeah.
And I just marvel at just what has made this country great. And I look at some of the pitfalls and the dangers that sometimes could happen with the modern society, with technology and children, as they're growing up, it's they start to become, you know, more pickier and become more choosy mm-hmm. of the type of things that they want to do. And it's almost like hard work is not something that is admirable anymore, but mm-hmm. hard work is something that's maybe looked down upon.
Right.
And I'm telling you that if we don't get a grip on this, if we don't teach our children, show mm-hmm. our children, get them engaged in doing things, this is not going to go well. And what someone once told me, I want a good office job. I want a good office. They said, do you have a good office education? Like, oh, yeah, no, I don't have a good office education.
Exactly.
Well, no good office education is not going to mean a good office job. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's you got to get out there. And the earlier you can start them, the better. You know, I think about some of the different work that I had actually no choice to do. I had some choices, but I get out there and did some things, shovel snow and all that. And I think it's a good thing to get kids working at a young age and getting them involved doing stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, I get my kids out in the yard all the time. And just to learn some work ethic, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of sitting around the house all day playing video games or goofing off, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
Put them out there, put them to work.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to do things the right way. You take for granted. I mean, if we don't train them at home, the first training that a child should, you know, receive shouldn't be at the first job that they have.
Yeah.
They should be able to have some sort of resume that says, I've learned how to do some things.
Exactly.
And I've learned how to wash some dishes. You know what I'm saying? I've learned how to cut some grass. I've learned how to wash some clothes. I've learned some things.
Yeah.
And we can train them on working with excellence. Mm-hmm. We can train them with working with integrity, to not do things halfway, but to be proud of the work that they've done. To say that, you know, I've put a good day's work in. I did it, completed it. Mm-hmm. I did it right. It met the expectations. You know, I didn't just do it halfway,
mm-hmm.
and it's done. And one great way. That's why I guess, you know, things like cutting grass or things that they can finish doing is rewarding. If you finish cutting a grass and you look at, okay, there's a difference. Yeah, look mm-hmm. what I did. Or you paint a house or paint a room or something, you can instant gratification, you know that it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps them to look back and say, wow, I did that.
Well, it seems scriptural. I mean, look at the book of Ecclesiastes. It talks about, you know, a man gets great worth out of the work they do. You know? And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can think of hundreds of times where I've, you know, done many, many projects over the years. You know, when I was in business mm-hmm. and construction projects, and it's just amazing. You just, once you get done with something, you look back and you can just admire something that you've done
mm-hmm.
with your hands.
Yeah, and it's good.
Awesome.
I mean, and at the same token, while we're building and doing and creating, it's our way that we can worship the Lord. I mean, mm-hmm. we're not just doing things just to do things. We're not doing things. I mean, the Puritans understood this. The Puritans understand, the Pilgrims understand. They felt that, listen, you know, all work was a form of worship
mm-hmm.
because it's a way that we can glorify God. It's a way that we can do things with excellence that says, you know, God has graced me with ability to learn, with a talent, with a skill, with energy, with resources. I'm not just going to do things halfway. I represent the Lord. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I want to do it to the best of my ability. And I want to do something that gives him glory. And I'm just amazed. I'm absolutely mm-hmm. amazed. And when I saw the coal mining expedition here, when I saw the video, I said, oh my goodness, I have a newfound level of appreciation for coal miners and a newfound appreciation for all of those that have gone before us and have worked, labored intensely. You know, things just don't happen. It takes people getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think about my grandfather. I mean, you know, he had such an amazing work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that needs to be restored again. It's something about the older generation that we can learn so much wisdom from. And if we don't pass this wisdom down, we're going to lose it. But my grandfather was one that, my goodness, I mean, he didn't miss a day's work. There was a period in his life where he lived with us in our home, and he worked every day. I mean, every day, snowstorm. I mean, it didn't matter. They mm-hmm. shut the whole city down, and he still get in his car. And we're like, "What are you doing? There's no there's no school." And he'd tell me, "Just because there's no school doesn't mean there's no work."
That's all right.
I mean, and he had plenty of days and stuff, vacations he could take, and all that type of stuff. And he had wasn't like he had no choice. He had options. He could have stayed home, mm-hmm. but he didn't believe in just staying home. He didn't believe mm-hmm. in just sitting around. Mm-hmm. You know. His kind of motto was probably like he had the type of personality that said, you know, why sit down when you can stand up and do something? You know what right. I mean? There's some personalities that say, you know, why sit down when you can lay down? But, you know,
yeah, right.
that's not going to be conducive to a fruitful yeah, right. life, you yeah. know, and any prosperity. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. If you want to checky, you got to do a little worky, right?
That's right.
But if we're going to continue to see great things happen, In the area of just entrepreneurship and just, you know, economy, even personal economy, we really have to pass this down to, you know, down our generation and to continue to empower our children to realize that, listen, nothing is for free. Everyone has to work in life. And it's not about what you do. It's not about what you do. There's a big emphasis in this, you know, today. It's like, you got to go to school and you got to get this and you got to get that. And you got to, listen, it's not really... So important what you do. I mean, you want to do things that are right before God. You want to get into no industry that's just violates God's laws. Don't get me wrong, but it's more. What's more important is how you do what you do. Mm-hmm. How you do what you do. Let's not forget the value of hard work.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.